Welcome back to another episode of Exiled Strangers. Remember, if you want to sign up to give your testimony on this podcast, email us at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me, and we'll have you on to share your testimony anonymously. So, with that being said, how's it going, nobody?
It's going good, buddy. It's going good. And let me tee off on that real quick, actually. So, this whole anonymous thing, you know, this isn't to like, this is to protect, right? It's to protect. People's got some crazy testimonies and some people are still in danger. But think about it, like the woman at the well, you know, the man at the pool of Bethesda, the lepers, like we don't know their names and they don't matter. You know, like their testimonies are super strong. I don't know if we've ever mentioned that before. So I just figured I'd drop that out there into the old podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good thing to bring up because I guess we just assumed, I don't know, the first 10 tries that we had on the first episode, maybe we thought we had said it and it didn't actually come out or something like that.
Maybe we did. I don't know.
Maybe. Interesting little anecdote. So earlier I was putting up the chickens and it's dark outside and I had like a little flashlight on me because there's a few like fine motor skills I need to do at night outside. So I had the flashlight with me. And then I pointed the flashlight up in the sky and I noticed it looks like there's all these little dust particles that are just floating in the air.
Which
immediately reminded me of that viral fog that's going around, which we had the past couple of days with that burnt plastic smell. So I'm wondering if these particles floating around in the sky is a similar thing. I don't know. I know there's a bunch of people that are sick around us right now. I don't know what's going on, but you were asking for a parasite cleanse a couple of days ago. I know that Dr. Brian Artis has that foreign protein cleanse. I would recommend if you're having that fog and stuff like that, I'd recommend taking some of that foreign protein cleanse for a little detox slash, you know, parasite cleanse slash get rid of whatever junk has been in your system for however long. So,
yeah, man, and the reason I asked you for that cleanse, like I was just kind of looking through certain symptoms and stuff. And yeah, I got a few of them and it could be related to other things, but like, why not, you know, why not just through the cleanse?
You definitely have worms. Whoa. All the stuff you've been into, you got worms, man.
Hey, I don't have spaghetti butt. Knock it off. No, for real though, people.
You have spaghetti butt, but you might have something.
I've just eaten in a lot of weird places, you know. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Did you hear? Okay, I'm going to switch the topics. I hear you, brother, and I'm going to look that up, okay? Yep. Dr. Artis is awesome. Yep. He's got some really great info out there. Hey, you know what? Actually, to be honest, like I'm surprised he hasn't been suppressed more than he has to this point, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I think he just did a good job of not announcing that he has information before releasing the information. That's one thing that I've noticed with him that a lot of other people make the mistake doing. Some people will be like, yeah, on March 23rd, I'm going to be releasing all my findings regarding whatever it may be. He just comes right out and says it. Like there's no forewarning. There's nothing. There's no like foreshadowing or anything like that. He just comes out with the information. Bam.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that, dude. Like, especially his study on nicotine, or at least the studies that he brings forward on it, it's incredible. And it's not just like, you know, tobacco. I mean, it's just like include it in your diet, you know, like the nightshades and all that. That's tight. All right. So I'm gonna
switch. Nicotine is not addictive.
Yeah. Nicotine's awesome. Man, if only I knew this info back when I was in high school, you know,
oh,
I picked
same.
up, got caught smoking a cigarette when I was a teenager, and I'd have been like, hey, hold on a second. Dr. Artis said.
It's everything else they add to the cigarette that's addictive.
Yeah. It's only 90% of this thing that I'm smoking right now that's addictive.
Right.
But I'm going to switch gears real quick. Okay. So did you hear that the penny's going away?
Honestly, it's about time.
Bro, but what
it's
if something
about time.
If something comes up to 97 cents, are you going to have to pay an extra nickel? Or are you going to have to pay that extra 3 cents just like a tip? Ooh, like say you're paying.
Would you notice? Would you notice? Okay, let me tell you something. All right, so when I lived in Australia, everything was just rounded up or rounded down. Like it was just whole dollars or like whole cents. There was no 9.57 or anything like that. It was like 9.50 until it wasn't 9.50. And okay. It was just so much simpler. Not having to deal with pennies. Like I mean, all the change in Australia is actually useful. Like what are you going to do with a pocket full of change in the United States?
Well,
maybe put it in a sock and beat some bad guys with it. That's about it.
You could definitely do that. I'm not saying that's a first choice. I used to flick them like bing across the room. But I guess, you know, hey, I guess if like either they go by fives now because the lowest one we'll have is a nickel, or, you know, just I guess give preference to the purchaser and round down. Yeah.
See, and we're all pretending that all this money means something. We're just all pretending this money means something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's really the only point. But
right.
And we're still going to have pennies for a minute. They're just going to stop making them. I just thought that was funny.
Right.
It's like all this stuff going on, all these like orders happening. And then I see like, we're not minting pennies no more. It costs 2 pennies to make 1 penny. I'm like, oh, dang. I'm like, all right. Yeah, I'm actually, that makes sense. That one makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But not the other day when it's like, hey, today's Gulf of America Day. Like, what? Stop it. Did that really
happen?
Gulf
of America?
Yeah, apparently February 9th is Gulf of America Day.
Okay. I thought that was like, the Gulf of Mexico.
No, not no more. Google Maps just changed it, bud.
Oh, snap. Yeah. Oh, snap.
You know that when Google says something, that's the truth.
Okay. All right, Trump snaps his fingers and let it be.
Yeah, I guess so, right? Which, just let me put this out there, and I'm going to just briefly graze this topic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if this land area, right, that the U.S. is going to purchase and own over there, known as the Gaza Strip, and then sell or lease it, right? I think sell to these other nations, these surrounding nations, to have partial ownership in for economic growth and gain. I've seen this in prophecy somewhere, man. I've seen this. I think in Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 11. So I'm just putting that out there for everybody to go take a look. You know, just take a look. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. There you go. It's been foretold. Also, just a freaking bizarre route to deal with the situation.
Super doesn't make sense.
No. Like, it really does not make sense. Like, you could... All right. Yeah. We better stop or else we're going to get this podcast taken down before it takes off.
Yeah. There's all kinds of new task force and everything coming out to limit free speech, so we better chill.
Right. Yeah. And we ain't that anonymous. We're pretty easy to find if you're decent with the computer.
Yeah, seriously.
Like halfway decent.
Yeah, it takes someone like 2 minutes, if that.
Yeah. All right. So what are we talking about today, Nobody? We're talking about false prophets, right?
Yeah, those prophets that are not true.
Yeah. So how, like... We're all thinking, okay, whenever you say false prophet, we're all thinking somebody. Like, somebody pops to mind.
Sure.
Of, like, this TV evangelist type person, stuff like that. The question is, how do you determine whether or not a prophet is legit or not? Like, how do you determine whether or not the prophet is telling the truth, or if he's just lying for his own gain, or if he himself is being misled? He thinks he's telling you the truth, but he himself is being used as a puppet.
Yeah.
Is the litmus test that we can use to determine truth and falsehood?
Well, we could definitely, I think Deuteronomy 13 and 18, right? And whatever a prophet declares has to line up also with the congruency of all of Scripture. Like, Scripture tells one story from the beginning to the end. And it's got to fall in these parameters. I mean, it can't just be off the rails, especially when you look at these prosperity preachers and all this, and it's just, it gets just wild. One of the biggest things too is, like, when I was growing up in the mainstream church, from what I was taught and the limited knowledge I had, which was pretty much nothing as far as truth goes, only what this doctrinal, teaching was telling me. Like, if someone came in and's like, yo, it's fixing to rain tomorrow, and I'm being silly, but like, it's going to rain tomorrow, at 3:35 PM. And I go outside and it rains. I'm like, oh man, that dude was a prophet. Like, I guess I better listen to this guy if he's trying to prove himself,
Yeah.
Because there's all the tools of Scripture to define who a real prophet is or not are taken away from the mainstream church. They don't use Scripture to define Scripture, and they don't go off of what Yahuwah commands. Like, there's some things here and there, sure, but as a whole, they don't get their foundation from his instructions, his Torah, and his prophets.
Absolutely.
It's so much different. Like, a prophet can literally tell you something and it comes true. Like, a false prophet, rather, can literally tell you a prophecy or a dream and it comes true, and they could still be a false prophet. I mean, Deuteronomy 13, when we read this, really lays it out straight up.
Well, let's go ahead and read it then. Let's go ahead and set the precedent of what a real prophet is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All right. Let me get this set up. You want me to go ahead and read it?
Yeah, go ahead. You got it.
All right. So I'll read out of the
Septuagint. What are you reading out of?
I'll read the Septuagint. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It says, and if there arise within you a prophet or one who dreams a dream, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass which he spoke to you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you know not, you shall not hearken to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, because Yahuwah your Elohim tries you to know whether you love your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow Yahuwah your Elohim and fear him, and you shall hear his voice and attach yourselves to him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall die, for he has spoken to make you err from Yahuwah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who redeemed you from bondage, to thrust you out of the way which Yahuwah your Elohim commanded you to walk in. So shall you abolish the evil from among you. Okay, so we'll pause real quick right there. Okay,
yeah.
It's pretty straight up. Like, these things can come to pass, but yeah, they'll
straight up tells you that. Oh, my bad. Go ahead. I stepped all over you,
bro. It's fine. Go for it.
But it straight up tells you that, hey, there are going to be people who are going to appear to prophesy accurately, the dreamers of dreams, they will tell you and they will come true. Mm-hmm. It's all there to test you. It's all there to test you. So some people, like on YouTube, which seems to be super popular right now, will get on YouTube and they'll tell you a dream that they have, and then that dream comes true, and then everything that person says afterwards all automatically becomes truth and fact, just because this guy was right one time, when Yahuwah points out, hey, these people are going to pop up. Yeah. And it's a test.
Yeah. And they're going to be accurate with what they say. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, we have to be so careful. Because it says here in verse 2 at the end, it says, "And he spoke to you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you knew not." Well, guess what would be defined like? So these other gods, right? False gods. They could be idols with no life in them. They could be fallen angels. They could be demons. They could be all these different things, right? Like, it's kind of like, yeah, it's just like you can turn, you know, even kings of the earth or people in rulership or judges have been known as Elohim gods, right?
Yeah.
This is like anything outside of Yah's parameters for how he tells us to walk is serving someone or something else. Like, we're even told, like, you can't serve like money and Elohim, you know? Money could be set up as a false god. So look at all these prosperity preachers who prophesy over people for riches and other like ridiculous stuff, you know?
Yeah.
This is like one of the biggest parts of the few verses we read. It's where it says Yahweh your Elohim tries you to know whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. Like, he is allowing this false prophet to come near to you to speak this crap. And he's like, let me see if they've been studying my word. Let me see if they know me and they know they have a foundation in my truth, in my instructions that I've given mankind.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
And then there's instruction to do what to do with that person after that has happened. So shalt thou abolish the evil from among you.
Yeah.
So, like, and then another thing that pops up, dude, is all of these, like, prophetic words that these old ladies at church have for you all the time.
Oh, dude, it drives me nuts.
It's like, yeah, like, oh, I have a prophetic word for you, or oh, I have a word for you, or like some sort of statement. Like, do you seriously, or is this some sort of self-aggrandizement because you're trying to make it seem as if you have a closer connection with Yahuwah than you actually do?
Right. Yeah. And then you look at these people, right? They don't follow, and not all, but most of them, they don't follow Yah's instructions, right? And we know that that's kind of like, we're told to discern the fruits. And we know fruit is born through following the Torah, Psalm 1. It tells us straight up, you know. It gets me so mad that I just want to just tell them to shut up, you know. Like, like, hey, shut up. Stop even just speaking this crap into my ears, you know.
Dude, okay, so there's this famous YouTube channel. A homesteading YouTube channel. They used to live in the Little Rock area, and they were like new. They were like a big family in their church. Like, everybody knew who they were, all that type of stuff. Everybody kind of looked up to this family and all that crap. Honestly, just because they had a large YouTube following. And there was one couple, newlywed couple, that was talking to the husband of that previously mentioned family. And just kind of having a conversation with them and talking to them. And then the guy from that family told them that he had a prophetic word that this newlywed couple was going to get a divorce. And because this guy had such esteem in the church and was like just well known and everybody liked this guy and all that crap, they went ahead and just got a divorce. Because if this guy is saying, if this guy is saying like, oh, I don't see you guys having a good future together, or you guys are, I prophesy like a divorce in your guys' future. They just went ahead and skipped to it. And instead of thinking like, this guy seems to be full of crap, they just went ahead and believed him and got a divorce.
Dude, that's like, that is so sad. Man, coming from somebody who does not have a good track record with previous relationships, and a lot due to my own error, right? I'm not putting it all on the other people, but like, to have something that you could actually work and build and become one with each other through loving the Father first, you know, like, destroyed by the ramblings of some crazy dude, Like that. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. Yep. But I would say the fault is on both parties on that one. A, don't be a dummy. And then B, don't be telling people they're going to get a divorce. Don't be giving out false prophecy.
Yeah.
Or else we got to boot you from the camp.
Well, see, and if that was me too, and someone came and said that to me, I would do the same thing I just said that I'd want to do to most of these people. Shut up. You know, yeah. Just shut up, man. Get out of my face.
Yeah. Quit looking at my wife, dude.
Yeah. What are you thinking? You know, like, what are you going to try to move in over here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. But,
yeah. That's go ahead.
I was just going to wrap up on this part that you were bringing up where it says to abolish the evil from among you or purge the evil, right? And it says before that,
verse 5.
Yeah, it says that he should die, right? Yeah, the beginning. It says he shall die. Now, we're not telling people to go and kill anybody, right? Like,
no.
We don't have a priesthood on this earth, right? Our priesthood is in the heavenly tabernacle. We also don't have judges on this earth, right? So this goes all in Yahusha's hands as our high priest. He's the one that makes judgment. However, to abolish that evil from among you, like this is something you take care of in your congregations or in your life, like either keep away from that person or correct them. And if there's repentance and, you know, prove the fruits, but if there's repentance, okay, you can, you know, I guess, you know, go how the Holy Spirit or the Ruach is guiding you. But
you want to continue reading that chapter?
Yeah, let me share my screen. Six. I totally forgot to share it for verses 1-5.
Oh, you're good.
But I'll tell you what, everybody, if you're listening to this and if you don't have a Bible, go get one. You know?
Oh,
go get one.
Yeah, and check out, and like even online Bibles, check out eSword. That's the app we use. Letter E, sword, like what you stab with.
Or slice and dice, you know?
Whatever your preference. Depends on the sword.
I'm sorry. I'm a little smart tonight and not in a IQ kind of way. My bad.
You're good.
All right. So picking up at verse 6, it says, and if your brother by your father or mother or your son or your daughter or your wife in your bosom or your friend who is equal with your own soul entreat you secretly saying, let us go and serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, of the gods of the nations that are round about you, who are near to you or at a distance from you, from one end of the earth to the other, you shall not consent to him, neither shall you hearken to him, but your eye shall not spare him. You shall feel no regret for him, neither shall you at all protect him. You shall surely report concerning him, and your hands shall be upon him among the first to slay him, and the hands of all the people at the last. And they shall stone him with stones, and he shall die, because he sought to draw you away from Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And all Yasharel shall hear and fear, and shall not again do according to this evil thing among you. And if in one of your cities, which Yahweh Elohim gives you to dwell in, you shall hear men saying, evil men have gone out from you and have caused all the inhabitants of their land to fall away, saying, let us go and worship other Elohim whom you knew not. Then you shall inquire and ask and search diligently. And behold, if the thing is clearly true, and this abomination has taken place among you, you shall utterly destroy all the dwellers in that land with the edge of the sword. You shall solemnly curse it and all things in it. And all its spoils you shall gather into its public ways, and you shall burn the city with fire, and all its spoils publicly before Yahweh your Elohim, and it shall be uninhabitable forever. It shall not be built again, and there shall nothing of the cursed thing cleave to your hand, That Yahweh may turn from his fierce anger and show you mercy and pity you and multiply you as he swore to your fathers. If you will hear the voice of Yahweh your Elohim to keep his commandments, all that I charge you this day to do that which is good and pleasing before Yahweh your Elohim. Man,
it seems like a heavy consequence for giving like false prophecy. But if you start thinking about what false prophecy really is, you understand why there's such a heavy consequence for it. For you to be a false prophet, you have to claim that these words are from Yahuwah and that you are basically the mouthpiece for Yahuwah. Like,
yeah.
If you're claiming that, you're giving false testimony and you're claiming that Yahuwah is saying these things that he is not saying, which, you know, gives you the understanding as to why the penalty for this is so heavy. Like, you better be sure these words are from Yahuwah before you go claiming that they are actually from Yahuwah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Okay, so anybody who hasn't seen our first episode out about Hanukkah and Christmas, okay, I highly encourage you to go and watch it. Take it to prayer. Take it to the scriptures. You know, prove.
Yeah.
If you want to do either of those two false holidays, prove it, you know?
Yeah.
Because everything we've seen, this is worshiping other Elohim. There's a teacher I was just watching, and I'm not watching teachers in this way. I read scripture for myself, as does my brother here. But
yep.
One of these so-called teachers on YouTube, and he's likening the Messiah to Hanukkah, right? And he's saying how wonderful it is. Celebrate it. We're going to have a conga line here on our Hanukkah celebration. Bro, the shamash, literally, and he's saying this word. The Hebrew word shamash is for sun, S-U-N. No, it's not Shemesh. Shamash is literally a Mesopotamian sun deity. Like,
yep.
it's just crazy. So this guy here is in violation of Deuteronomy 13. Now, he may be unaware and unlearned, and he needs to be told that to see what his, you know, reaction would be. But I'm just saying, it's everywhere, folks. Like, everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially these, like, it's popular on YouTube, these false prophets on YouTube. But where, like I said before, they'll be trying for years to get something right, but nobody's noticing because they're not getting anything right. So their views and their subscribers stay low. And then all of a sudden they get something right. And it could be a minor detail of some big event. They get it right. And then their channel blows up.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh man, I got a lot of views from that. Let me keep trying to predict crap and see if I can get more views and more subscribers and more money and stuff like that, more attention. And then they just keep on trying over and over again. And then it's just a bunch of crap after that. It's like, it's almost like it's a test directly from Yahuwah saying like, all right, I'm going to give him this one tidbit of information that's going to be correct. But just keep watching because you'll see that he doesn't point anybody to the law. He points people to lawlessness for one. And, everything else he says is going to be incorrect.
Yeah, man. Like,
yeah,
it's literally everywhere. You know, everybody wants to have a word, and we're going to go over we'll go over to 1 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 12 after this, and we'll look at the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Ruach, right? And we'll talk about those too because it's amazing. But real quick, we're in verse 6. It's, you know, when it goes over your brother, the son of your mother, your father, or your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, your friend who is as your own soul. These are people so close to you, you know?
Yeah.
And it says that they secretly entice you to go after other gods. When you go into this word, like in the Hebrew here, it's H5643, right? For the Strong's number. But it's Sather or Sithra. There's two different kind of derivatives of this. Where is it? Backbiting, covering, to convert you. Here's a good one, to disguise it. They'll disguise what they're causing you to do, just like Christmas and Hanukkah is disguised, and Easter and all this other crap. You know, it's disguised as something good, as something, you know, joyful, and you know, that's all about love and our Messiah, all these different ways. But the bottom line is, like, if our Father didn't tell us to worship in this way, we're not to do it, you know?
Right. Yeah. And he seems pretty thorough. Like, he doesn't seem to leave anything out.
So yeah.
It's not like, like, oh, I forgot to tell you, my son is coming and you're going to need to celebrate his birthday. Like, yeah. That doesn't happen.
He's not like, oh no, I forgot my son's birthday. You know, I got to get him a present. That's not the last chapter of the Bible.
And you're all going to celebrate it on the wrong day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
In remembrance of this forgetting.
You know, it's just wild, man. You know, the only days of remembrance that I see here in Scripture, right? You have the weekly Sabbath, because we get the days brought up in creation. And you have his appointed times, right? Yah's feast days. This is what he's so concerned about, you know? And there's new moons too. That's a whole other discussion on whether it's every moon or it's the four quarterly moons as mentioned in Jubilees chapter 6. That's a fun rabbit trail for another day. But the point is, like you said, like, he's detailed it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And didn't leave any details out. One thing that stands out with that Deuteronomy 13 chapter is that you mentioned the close family members that are trying to secretly deter you away from the teachings of Yahweh, and how you're supposed to be one of the first that throws the stone. I think that's important too, because, and you think also that might be extreme, but it's not extreme if you analyze what these people are trying to do. Like, yes, they might be a very, very close brother or a sibling or a family member or something like that. But if they're trying to pull you away from Yahuwah secretly, then they do not love you. They're not showing you any kind of love or affection or anything like that. They're showing the opposite. They're showing that they want you to cease to exist.
Man, that's such a good point. That is such a good point.
It seems extreme until you view the context of what the severity of everything.
Yeah. And okay. So, and again, let me say this again, we're not preaching any violence here, right? Like, we're not in that time. We don't have the ability to do that right now, but in the millennial reign, I do believe that the Messiah and those that are under his charge will be carrying out the Torah just like it said. And if anybody's doing this, woe be to them, you know? Like, and I'm all for it. Like, praise Yah. Yah's ways are great. He created us people. Like, we at least owe him a little bit of obedience to this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Our best effort at the very
least. Yeah. Yeah. Man. Like,
man.
And that's the thing too. So, like, even look at verse 7, it says, you know, to go after these other gods of the gods of the nations that are round about you, who are near to you or at a distance from you, from one end of the earth to the other. Well, guess what? Hanukkah is given reverence to Shamash, a Mesopotamian sun god. So this is from the other nations. Like, they're literally picking up this garbage from the nations round about.
Or St. Nicholas or Krampus. All these are false gods from other nations that have been picked up as time has gone by.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, like, the list is so long. It's ridiculous. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no shortage of fake gods out there.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them. You want to move on to 1 Corinthians now?
Let's hit Deuteronomy 18. We'll just start at verse 9 and then we can go over to 1 Corinthians.
Let's pop
the old screen back up. Boom. Okay. So starting at verse 9, it says, "And when you shall have entered into the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, you shall not learn to do according to the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found in you one who purges his son or his daughter with fire, one who uses divination, one who deals with omens and augury." So I believe augury is just sorcery. or foretelling of things. Let me see before we move on. I think this is it. Enchanter or witch.
Doing witch things.
Yeah. Don't do witch things.
Nope.
It says a sorcerer employing incantation, one who has in him a divining spirit, an observer of signs, questioning the dead, or one who calls up the dead, a necromancer, right? This is literally in the Talmud, the disgusting man-made traditions of Judaism. Like, this is literally what is done in Gittin 57a. They say that on Kelos, right, raised the Messiah, our true Messiah, from the dead, as if he's still in Sheol, and
yeah,
did all this. So they're already in violation.
Yeah, right, doesn't say that these things aren't possible. It right. says these things are definitely possible, and don't do them.
Yeah, I mean, in the case in the Talmud, they're like, on Kelos is full of crap because our Messiah had already ascended, but they are, if we look like the Witch of Endor story in 1 Samuel. So, is it 1 Samuel?
Good point. Yeah.
No. I might be off, but all right. I might be 2 Samuel. I'm just out of it tonight. All right. Verse 12, it says, for everyone that does these things is an abomination to Yahweh your Elohim. For because of these abominations, Yahweh will destroy them from before your face. You shall be perfect before Yahweh your Elohim. For all these nations whose land you shall inherit, they will listen to omens and divinations, but Yahweh your Elohim has not permitted you so to do. Oh man. Yah's like, hey, you're not allowed to touch this crap. Like, this is all to do with the teachings of the Watchers, the fallen Watchers, you know. This is all stuff that we are just not allowed to touch. And if you want to go back, like, dude, where is it? A sorcerer employing incantation, right? Like, to incant something is to what? Bring it to pass by, like, incanting it. You basically repeat this same thing, like, over and over, you know, in different ways. I mean,
yep.
Look at the Gregorian chant. You know, look at all these things from the Catholic Church. Like, boom, don't do that. I mean, they're doing a whole lot of other crap too, but.
Or a lot of the yoga breathing methods and stuff like that. I can't remember the name of it. If I heard it again, I would recognize it. But there's like this whole yoga practice where you're like chanting or you're doing like this cyclical breathing over and over again. In hopes to open up these different chakras and all that crap. But it's given a bunch of different names. It's dressed in a bunch of different clothes, but it's all the same thing.
Bro, I'll tell you what, like you're gonna get what you ask for. Cause these things are real. Like, the enemy's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he is. For sure. Alrighty. Was that all you wanted to read from 18?
Yeah.
Okay. And go on over to 1 Corinthians. What'd you say? Chapter 12, I think, is the spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, spiritual gifts. Right at the top.
All right. So, taking a look at this, we can hopefully, you know, discern and talk about and kind of show everybody who's listening or watching, like, how this is really supposed to go down. This goes back to, you know, those ladies who come up with, like, every day with a word, you know, like,
Yah
doesn't talk to me like that. Yah has showed me things, and he's like, he's maybe provoked me to give words of encouragement to brothers or sisters in this walk that happen to actually really affect them and fall into play with what they're dealing with. But this isn't an everyday occurrence. You know, who it like, can some people hear like that, like detailed audibly from the Father every day? I mean, I guess maybe, but I don't know. You got to discern those fruits. But when you look at
it's for me, that's the biggest, like, teller right there is the fruits of the person. Like, okay, you're telling me that you have this such close relationship with Yahuwah that he's speaking to you right before Sunday church, Sunday service, every single time. And he's giving you this word that you need to come and tell whoever. But yeah, you're an alcoholic. Like, a known alcoholic. Or, yeah, like, you have all these different things going on in your life. You're telling me you live in such close proximity to Yahuwah, but all these different things are going on in your life. I don't think that's the case. I think you're... I think you're lying.
Yeah. Yeah, that goes back to my, you know, my big counter argument to this is shut up. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Just stop. Stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Yep.
But you don't need to, you know, be mean. I mean, still, like, I'm just saying that from my captain's chair here in my little dungeon office, but
there you go. So, spiritual gifts.
Spiritual gifts. All right, it says, "And concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not wish you to be ignorant. You know that you were nations led away to the dumb idols, even as you might be led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the spirit of Elohim says Yahusha is a curse, and no one is able to say that Yahusha is master except by the set apart spirit. And there are different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit. There are different kinds of services, but the same master. And there are different kinds of workings, but it is the same Elohim who is working all in all. And to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for profiting. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another belief by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another operations of powers, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another kinds of tongues, and to another interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he intends."
So you know who comes up far less often than these women of words of prophecy?
What's that?
The person coming to discern the spirits, or to discern, to interpret the prophecy or anything like that. Like, that's what seems to be lacking. It's like they're missing the part where somebody receives something and then there's another person to discern that thing.
Yeah. Especially when you get into these, some of these more enthusiastic congregations where people just like, primarily that I've noticed in like the Pentecostal church, like they'll stand up and start speaking in tongues, right? And they just like spout all this gibberish. And it's like, we're told that like, no, like if someone speaks in tongues, one, there needs to be an interpreter. That is a gift of the Spirit. Like, they're two different gifts, right? And if you look at like Pentecost, right? Tongues of fire, each man heard according to the tongue of his nation. You know, so the gift of tongues is to go out and evangelize the nations, not to speak gibberish that nobody on earth can understand. You know,
that really only edifies you in that moment.
That's exactly like what Paul describes.
Yeah. Like, what benefit is it to Yahuwah for him to give you a word in a language that nobody there understands? Like, yeah. What's the benefit of that?
Like, bro, you could stand up and speak all this gibberish right now, and I could be like, hey, I got the interpretation. Everybody's getting a brand new boat, you know? who's going to tell me that I'm wrong? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it gets pretty ridiculous. And, yeah. I mean, look at these beautiful gifts of the Spirit. So, like, going back, oh, right here, a word of wisdom into another... a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. A word of wisdom can be something that's edifying, something that helps a brother or sister through a particular time. They don't even know what's going on, but a particular time that it's like, wow, you know, like that really edified me and helped my walk. It strengthened me during this time. Thank you. You know, like, praise Yah. But a word of knowledge, right? So that's like, if you're going to make contact with somebody, let's say that you're going to go evangelize with just this random person on the street, and the Ruach is just pulling you, like, go talk to this person. You know, the Ruach can prompt you with a word of knowledge. And like, it may be something as simple as like, hey, look, I don't know what's going on, but the Father, through the Ruach, through the Holy Spirit, has just prompted me to come over here. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is just telling me you're in a lot of grief right now. And I just want to be a support for you, you know, like whatever that word of knowledge is, it could be very detailed too. I've heard some amazing testimonies of that. But
yeah. And the difference between like wisdom and knowledge is knowing like, hey, if I'm going to be on a boat, probably a good idea to bring a life jacket. Wisdom is knowing that, hey, it's much easier to get that life jacket on before I'm in the water than after I'm in the water. So there's the two differences between knowledge and wisdom there.
Sure. Yeah. That's great wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah. Wisdom is realizing like, hey man, that life jacket's impossible to get on once I'm drowning. Like, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Let me get it on beforehand.
How fitting. Yeah. That is so fitting to this walk, right? Because all that Yah gives us, he gives us so much wisdom in order to prepare for the storms and be able to weather them, you know, the trials, the temptations, just tough times.
I'd much rather take wisdom than knowledge any day.
Sure. But even at that rate, like, I can tell you that there's been people, including you, who have like, I feel like have been partaking in this portion of the spirit of the Ruach, and it's helped me, you know, like, this just happens throughout the body, and it's super cool when it does. Like, and it's meant a lot to me whenever it happens. It pulls my focus and puts it back on Yahuwah, you know?
Yeah. I can agree with that for sure. Oh man. But yeah, without getting into tongues is another one of those ones where like two of these gifts I've seen by far more than any other gift. And I mean, gifts in quotes, where it's like the speaking of tongues in front of like a bigger congregation. And I have a word for you, or a word of prophecy. It's like those two out of any of the other ones seem to be used the most. And it always seems to be by the same category of person. Like, it's this older lady who doesn't have the attention on her anymore, wants the attention, and claims that she can either speak in tongues, speaks a bunch of gibberish that nobody interprets, or has a word which you forget about at the end of that day, like 5 minutes after she's given it. And you never make that connection like, oh, remember, that lady is full of crap. Like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Or, oh, nobody was there to actually interpret those gifts or interpret those tongues. We can't put any stock in it because there was nobody to interpret that. Yeah, those are the two that I see the most. And it seems to be used by the same category of people. And with actually, I would say two different categories, because that the prophecy category seems to expand into like middle to later aged men on YouTube who have been trying to get a following going for a while on YouTube, and then they finally got something right and now their following's growing.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that a lot.
You just remember where this leads you. This leads you to being dead forever. That's where that leads you. That's what following these people leads you to, is being dead forever.
Yeah. And so let's jump to 1 Corinthians 14 then, because there is like two types of tongues, right? And if somebody is going to speak in this, like this type of tongues that is just not able to be understood by other men, like this is to be done in private, as we see here.
Right
here, I'll just read it. Oh, let me put it up. I keep forgetting.
Are you talking about the one where it's more of like a prayer language between you and Yahuwah?
Yeah. Which I've never experienced this. I've had the groanings, same. You know, like even through our groanings and things, like the Ruach will intercede. It's the intercessor, right? It knows what we need. But all right, it says pursue love and earnestly seek the spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. For he who is speaking in a tongue does not speak to men, but to Elohim. For no one understands, but in the spirit he speaks secrets. Whoa. Okay. It says no one understands. You know what I mean? Like that's.
Yeah.
Because we do have interpreters, but it's from what I'm seeing, when it says no one, you know what I mean?
For this particular tongue, yeah.
Right. It says, but he who is prophesying speaks upbuilding and encouragement and comfort to men. So if you're speaking from the spirit, like this is like meant for men, they're going to understand what you're saying, you know?
Right.
It says, he who is speaking in a tongue builds up himself. But he who is prophesying builds up the assembly. Now I wish you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you might prophesy. For he who is prophesying is greater than he who is speaking in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the assembly might receive upbuilding. But now, brothers, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you, either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching? Nevertheless, lifeless instruments making a sound, whether flute or harp, if they do not make a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is played on the flute or the harp? For indeed, if the trumpet makes an indistinct sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? So also you, if you do not give speech by the tongue that is clear, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall be speaking into the air. Like, I mean,
he makes Paul, it pretty clear.
Paul should mic drop right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Why couldn't he write that clearly with everything else?
I know.
Dude, what are you doing to me?
Look, I love Paul. I get frustrated many times, you know, like in anybody else. Hey, I encourage everybody, go read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18. Okay. Concerning our beloved brother, Paul. And I do love Paul, even though I know I'm frustrated because of my own lack of understanding in places. I just can't wait for the kingdom to come. And like, I want the opportunity to sit down with Paul and just talk to him and be like,
yeah,
like, hey, you know, like,
hey dude,
I'd start like, how are you doing? You know, but then like, and then I'd follow it up with like, why? You know, like I know you're so intelligent. Like I see it. And I know that, you know, it's like a PhD level writing compared to like high school level, the rest of scripture. But, yeah, I'm just going to give him a big old hug, you know? And
dude, there's going to be a line of us asking him the same thing. He's just going to probably wear like this thing stuck to his shirt. Explaining.
Yeah, it's like, all right, let me get this out just one time so you can all hear me. But you know, even with that, even with Paul's writings, like I really do think that they like that the Ruach impressed upon him to write these letters in this way, like to speak in these ways, so that those who aren't seeking Yah with all their heart, mind, soul, everything, you know, wouldn't have the foundation to understand them. It becomes a stumbling block by means of perhaps like a sifting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. Or another way, maybe you never come to the conclusion where you're like, yeah, I get what Paul was saying, or yeah, I understand what Paul was saying. Maybe you never reach that, but you're not dissuaded by Paul because you've read the rest of scripture.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, there's some things, man, that I struggle with. I really do in Paul's writings. There's a few places that I, you know, I trust the Father will reveal that. Here's the thing about Paul's writings, though. Like, you don't have, like, the initial letters, return letters. Like, this is a response to different congregations, right? They're literally letters,
right?
Dealing with their specific issues, and people take it so far out of context as if he's summarizing the whole of our walk, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. No, this is specific instruction or correction in most places.
Yeah, Paul could be like, y'all should have seen what they sent me the first time.
Yeah.
This would make sense. Hey, it was much clearer in Greek.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like, look, it was a rather large scroll that got sent to me. There's a lot of topics here.
Well, okay. Like, so in his defense, there is that we didn't see the other side of the conversation. We're only seeing one side and being like, man, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Like, and despite all of my frustrations and just like where I fall short, like I have every bit of confidence that I'll be hanging out with Paul in the kingdom, you know, like that's, anyways, there's a lot of other people that have said that Paul has fallen short for the prophet's test, you know, Deuteronomy 13 and 18. And I disagree, you know, I disagree. I think Paul is speaking in a way that he is assuming, right, that these congregations he's already evangelized and also instructed, that they have the foundation, which he is now speaking on. You know, he's not going back over what he's already taught them. He's instructed them where they're at. But,
and I think we can take each one of these churches and apply them to like modern times too. Like he's addressing a bunch of different churches that still apply today. And I think that might be, whether it be like the overly legalistic ones or the ones that are still performing orgies, like
yeah, don't do that.
There's all these different categories of churches. Yeah, there's all these different categories of churches that these letters still apply to.
Yeah for real. It's, dude, life is crazy, huh?
It's yeah it's freaking crazy, man.
The cool thing is like, as wild as everything is around, and you hear just crazy stories and you see the nations moving in wild ways, and just in general, everything is just, you know, it's unprecedented what's happening all over. I would imagine that you feel the same way, but having Yah's foundation, everything just also makes a whole lot of sense. You know, like I see it and I'm like, oh yeah, that actually checks out perfect with prophecy or with, you know, just what we've seen in the past. But
and a lot of the extra nonsense, the distraction and all that stuff just kind of gets sloughed off. Like it bothers you less or distracts you less.
Yeah,
that's what I've noticed, is a lot of the extra like fear mongering that goes on by the same, you know, YouTube prophets and stuff, a lot of that stuff just doesn't matter because you know the game plan. Like, you know how things are going to lay out. And, you have an understanding. And knowing that if you're walking in Yahuwah's ways, that you're going to be protected. And not saying, not by no means is that giving liberty to not prepare. Sure. But if you're doing all the right things, if you're following Yahuwah's word, and you're preparing, then you're doing the best you can. And that's all that Yahuwah can ask of you.
Yeah.
Do your best.
I agree, brother. I agree.
Well, on that gloomy note, you got any final words for him, nobody?
Yeah, I do actually. So look, peoples of planet Earth. Actually, I don't know if I want to say planet. Peoples of Earth.
Peoples of the firmament.
This wonderful fixed Earth that is not aimlessly flying through the galaxy. Test everything. You know, like test everything. And if you're somebody who doesn't ever get into the quote unquote Old Testament, I highly encourage you to read and apply that to the New Testament, because all over the Messiah, the apostles, they're all just, they're speaking and walking in Torah. You know, this is what we're called to do. And look at the prophet's test, Deuteronomy 13 and 18, and put these so-called prophets to the test. But
I think that was well said. Remember, guys, if you want to sign up for a testimony, an anonymous testimony, then email us at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to hit the thumbs up, subscribe button, comment if you'd like. And if you're listening to us on any of the podcast platforms, then don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and review so that way more people can find our podcast. So, till next time, guys, we'll see you.